Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And our subject this evening is anger and reconciliation. Now, last week, amongst other things, we considered how the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. And I won't recap all the ways in which he is the fulfillment of the law, but one of the ways that we considered was that through his teaching on the law, he communicates to us the full breadth of the law, the full extent of the law, through his coming, through his teaching, and through his conduct, of course, he shows to us the full extent of the law that otherwise would have been hidden. The full scope of the law is made known to us through Christ, through his life, and through his teaching, and very clearly, particularly in this Sermon on the Mount. And this evening we're going to look at how the Lord expands the law in such a way, and particularly this evening on the sixth commandment, Thou shalt not kill. And we'll go straight into it, because there will be a lot of things that I would like to draw out this evening. But verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ says, Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now what the Lord is about to do in these verses is he is going to make a contrast between the true teaching of the law and the false representation of the law that was made by the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they had added to the law, of course, so many additional laws added to the moral law so that it was a burden to the Jews of the time, to the Pharisees and the scribes. But the Pharisees, they had misinterpreted, they had misunderstood what the law was all about. And they had an inadequate view of the law, therefore. And they had a view of the law that was ultimately very shallow. Yes, they'd added to it so many extra laws, and they thought that they were honoring God and pleasing God by going to great extremes. But really what they had was a very shallow view of the law. They didn't really understand it. A shallow view of the law, a shallow view of God and of his requirements. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, will set them straight, will give them the full depth. And this is what is happening in these words. And it's important to understand for ourselves, before we look any further, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not seeking to correct the law of Moses. He's not seeking to correct Moses. Some people misinterpret it in that way, that he's doing away with the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, and introducing a new one. He's not doing that. The law of Moses does not need to be corrected. It is perfect. But what Christ will do, he is correctly interpreting it and expounding upon the law. And so these things we must have in our minds very clearly before we move on. He is correcting the Pharisaical misunderstandings. And well, just before we go on, well, this is what we often have to do nowadays, and this is what we so often find ourselves doing nowadays. Many people, for example, come into this place, into this church, and well, they've heard about lots of religious things, but they don't fully understand them. They've heard about the law, for example, and about the Ten Commandments. They're aware of all these things, but they don't fully understand what the law is all about. They don't fully understand that you can't be saved by the law. They've heard about the law, but they don't fully understand what it means, that it leads us to Christ, that it's a schoolmaster to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the same thing. The Lord is saying, you've heard this commandment, but do you truly understand it? You've heard these things, but do you understand? Well, so many people nowadays, they've heard about the law, but they don't fully understand it. They've heard about, well, I remember speaking to a Roman Catholic man, and he had been to church, attended services, attended Mass for many years with his mother, but he had never understood why Christ died. He didn't understand that at all. He didn't understand that Christ had died for us, a substitute, a scapegoat, taken the punishment for our sins. He'd heard it every week, but he'd never understood it. And so this is how every preacher of the Word of God must go about his business. He must give the whole counsel of God. So many churches nowadays, well, they mention things, but they don't speak fully or expound in the right way. But the Lord Jesus Christ will do so here. So the Lord says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Well, now, I don't want to get bogged down with all the technical details of these verses, and there are a surprisingly large amount of things that we could mention, but I just want to apply these things very simply. Those who would have heard these words, those who would have heard that Sermon on the Mount, well, so many of them, of course, when they heard this commandment, thou shalt not kill, well, they would have said to themselves, well, we've kept that. Thou shalt not kill, are we speaking about that commandment? Well, we've never done that. I've never killed anyone. I've kept that commandment from my youth up. They would have been very pleased with themselves. They would have heard that commandment and said to themselves, well, I'm all right about that. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, well, the requirement of the law is much further than that. The law, thou shalt not kill, well, you can break it without actually killing anybody. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. You can break the sixth commandment without ever actually killing somebody. Well, how can you do that? Well, the Lord talks about angry words, about angry feelings, feelings of hatred. And the Lord condemns all such thing. Angry language towards one another, evil thinking towards one another. And this really is what the Lord is expounding here. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Well, if we just pause there just for a few moments, how can you be angry or hostile to somebody without a cause? We don't really understand this. We understand that if we're provoked, we can get angry, but without a cause, how does that work? Well, it's very common, actually. People, well, we can get angry or annoyed or irritated at others just for the way that they are. Just simply for the way that they are, their character. So often, I've seen it in my circles. If somebody is not like the rest of the group, If somebody is quiet and timid and doesn't speak much and is a bit awkward, well, people will get annoyed at them for that. They'll get irritated. They'll reject them for that, for the way that they are. You're not like the rest of us, so we don't like you. We reject you. We wish you were out of our group. You get angry at someone without a cause. They're just being the way they are, but you find them irritating, and you wish them away. Is that how we react to people? Angry at people without a cause, and we mock them because they're not exactly like us or how we would like them to be? That is included in these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it would also include, of course, any forms or all forms of racism. Of course, that's an example of being hated just for the way you are, for your skin color. People shun you, people mock you, people think less of you. That's hating somebody without a cause because of our own prejudice and wickedness. This is what the Lord is condemning, and of course, we have to condemn these things very severely. That whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, well, Raka is most likely an Aramaic word, and it means empty-headed, literally, but it can also mean worthless. It comes from a root that means to spit. That's how worthless you are. You would spit on them. So this is an insult, Raka. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Fool, again, a term of abuse. And so if we think these things in our hearts, and if we say these things to people, we are guilty of breaking the sixth commandment. Well, are we like this? We can extend it even further. Are there people that, you try to avoid? At work, perhaps, in your workplace? You wish that they weren't in your office. You wish that they would perhaps go and work somebody else, somewhere else. Well, that's breaking the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. You're wishing them away. You're wishing that they were out of your lives. Perhaps in your school places, perhaps somebody who lives on your street, a neighbor, you find very irritating. You just wish they'd go and live somewhere else. This is at the root of thou shalt not kill. That's almost a murderous thought. I wish this person out of my life. I don't want him in my life. That's the root of murder. It's a murderous thought. That's how murder begins, with those kinds of thoughts and those kinds of hatred dwelling within our hearts. And so all these things we have to take stock of and examine ourselves, because, well, the Lord is greatly offended over these things. These things, when we think upon them, well, it reminds us of how holy the Lord is. How holy God is. God is so holy that even these things are a great offense to him. He is so holy that even our thoughts and even our idle words, well, they put us in danger of hellfire. The holiness of God. These things remind us of that. They also point out to us that God sees evil and wickedness even when we do not see it. Even when we don't see our sin, God sees it. Many of us, well, if we said you're a fool to somebody, if we insulted somebody, we wouldn't think that was a very serious thing. We wouldn't think it was a sin at all. But in the eyes of God, it is. In the eyes of God, these things are great offenses. And so we have to, again, examine ourselves, even those of us who are believers. Are there things in our lives that perhaps we don't consider sins, but they actually are? they actually are sins. Things that we do habitually and we think nothing of them. But in God's sight, that is how we are always to assess our lives. When God looks upon my life, am I offending him or am I pleasing him? Doesn't matter what you think about your sins, about the things you do. What does God think? Because even if you don't think you're sinning, God sees these things and he is greatly offended. Greatly offended. Well, at the end of verse 22, whoever says, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. This is the wrath of God. Even for just a small offense, hell fire is speaking about Gehenna. That's the Greek word. And Gehenna was a deep ravine that was south of Jerusalem. And it was a wretched place. It was the city dump where all the waste and filth of the city was put, and the fires were always burning, and it was a symbol of eternal punishment. And these things, well, they remind us that even the smallest sin provokes the wrath of God. Hell fire. So we have to examine ourselves and examine ourselves very seriously. But then we move on to verses 23 and 24. Therefore, in the light of this teaching, in the light of this teaching that we are not to have angry thoughts one toward another, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Well, this is very challenging for Christian people, for believers. The Lord is addressing those who come to the temple. They bring a sacrifice, an offering to the temple. And while they are coming to the altar, while they are thinking upon God and his goodness toward them, well, then they are reminded of a grievance that a brother has against them. They are not right with somebody. Somebody has a problem, has an issue with them. And so the instruction of the Lord, if that is the case, if somebody has a grievance against you, well, you have to leave your gift there, your offering, and go first and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You must resolve your relationships with your brother. If your relationship with God is to be blessed, if your relationship with God is to be pleasing in his sight, you must have good relationships with one another. We cannot love God and hate our brother. And we read, did we not, from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. If we have strained relationships in a church, for example, well, our service, if we're Sunday school teachers, if we're evangelists, well, it will not be pleasing to God. It will be, in a sense, a defiled offering. We're going out, we're representing God, we're claiming we love God, but we hate our brother. We have a problem with people in the church. We have a problem with other Christians. We cannot reconcile that. That doesn't make sense. We cannot love God and hate our brother. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. And we have to remember this when we gather particularly for the Lord's Supper. And this verse was traditionally often used at Lord's Suppers. When we meet for the Lord's Supper, when we consider Christ and his death, what a terrible thing. If the people that we're meeting with, we have grudges against. What a terrible thing that is. We have angry feelings. We're not on speaking terms with those people. Do we think God is looking down on us and smiling? Oh, how wonderful. Here are my people, and that person isn't speaking to that person. That is a great offense to God. You must never let that happen. We must never let it exist in the church. If it does, we have to resolve it. Because anything else you do, your service, And however hard you work, it is not pleasing in the sight of God. Remember, God looks upon the heart, not the external work. This is all the way through this Sermon on the Mount. We'll see it constantly. But God looks upon the heart. And if we have grudges, well then, that is not pleasing to the Lord. And we will not receive blessing, even for all the offerings we bring, even for all the sacrifices we make and all the service. We leave our gift before the altar and first be reconciled to our brother. And by the way, one commentator was giving very practical advice. Sometimes people don't want to be reconciled because they don't understand why there is a grievance. Sometimes this can happen. They understand that there is a grievance, there is a problem, but they don't know why this brother or this sister has a problem with them. Why is that? Well, that doesn't matter. You simply go and you resolve your differences. It's not important, really, who is wrong and who is right. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that you resolve whatever is the issue. You be at peace with one another. That's what is being expressed here. Reconcile yourselves one to another, and then your service will be blessed. And we have to do it quickly, the Lord says in verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Well, the Lord is referring to those cases in which people would file lawsuits against others and would take them to court. And, this would result eventually to imprisonment, and that was the worst case. And the Lord really in this teaching is saying, do not let grievances to fester. Do not allow them to go on and on. If you realize that there is something wrong between your relationships with others, get it sorted out quickly. Don't let it go on and fester, because it will just get worse and worse and worse. We must, if we have any issue or any grievance, we must seek to uproot any bitterness and any ill feeling as soon as it begins to appear. And this is the kind teaching of our dear Saviour. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. This is meant to be the character of Christian people. All this sermon, this whole sermon, is challenging us to sanctify our character, to be like the Lord. Because, of course, the gospel itself is about reconciliation. Reconciliation with God. And really, well, these words, this verse, has been applied in a gospel application. And perhaps as I begin to draw to close, I will apply it in an evangelistic way. The gospel is about reconciliation. We, by birth, we are not reconciled to God. By birth, we are sinners. We are opposed to God. We're on opposite sides. And really, God is our adversary by nature. When we are born into this world, God, you can't really say that God is your friend. God is our adversary. We are on opposing sides. But what must we do? Well, we must agree with our adversary quickly. We who are lost, we who are not right with the Lord, we must always seek that reconciliation quickly and urgently. We must seek the Lord while he may be found, as the prophet Isaiah said. We must seek him urgently. Or else, what happens if we don't? if we waste our time, if we don't think it's important, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Lest at any time. Well, of course, we often say this, at any time your life could be over. At any time the opportunity to seek Christ may be over, ended. Lest at any time you be taken into eternity. The chance for repentance and faith is gone. Then what happens? Deliver thee to the judge. One day you will have to stand before the judge of the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you won't have any excuse at all for not coming to him. You didn't settle with the adversary. You didn't think it was urgent. Now it's too late. And then what will happen? And thou be cast into prison. What a terrible state. Verse 26, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. The judge of all the world, well, he will gather his people to be with himself, but those who don't know the Lord will be cast into a prison, as it were, an everlasting prison. And by no means will you be able to come out till you have paid the uttermost farthing. Don't think that means, oh, when God has finished punishing me, then I can go to heaven. I'll go to hell, I'll pay what I need to pay, then God will let me out. It doesn't mean that. The punishment for sin is eternal. You have sinned. When we sin, it's against an eternal God, an eternal God. So therefore, the punishment of God is eternal. There is no end to it. So if we find ourselves in that place, there's no getting out. But there is a way now. We have to settle with our adversary quickly, urgently. We say sometimes that it takes time to seek the Lord, but as far as you're concerned, it must always be an urgent thing. The most important thing on your mind is seeking the Lord. And the Lord, well, he will bless and he will save you, as we considered this morning. Well, I won't go into the following verses because I want to leave that for next week, but I think we've drawn out enough, otherwise we'll go on for too long. But these are the words of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember these things, believers. We should not have any grudges, any ill feeling toward one another, because God marks these and sees these, and our service, well, is affected and corrupted. But for unbelievers, remember those words, they apply to you. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Whilst thou art in the way with him, seek the Lord while he may be found. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for thy word. O Lord, in every word there are such riches and challenges and exhortations for us. Lord, we know we fall so far short, but Lord, we thank thee that thou art the God of grace. How much we need thy grace, how much we need Christ, for we are exceedingly sinful. O Lord, forgive us all our shortcomings, all our failings, all our sins. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.